Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. Andy and Sam here.
What's up, dude?
And a couple people in the living room who don't even want to talk to us right now.
Because they hate us.
They hate us, and they're nervous about microphones in their face.
Apparently, they're shaped too much like a penis.
Yep. Penis shape.
Too much like Tom Hardy's penis.
Tom Hardy's penis.
And Bronson.
Russell's, oh, my God.
Russell's disgusted from afar.
Rusty Trombone loves that cock. I am going to be in trouble when he hears that. Diego, how are you doing over there?
He's playing Gran Turismo.
Gran Turismo beats out Reservoir Dogs, which is the movie we're talking about today.
Yeah.
1992, Quentin Tarantino's directorial debut.
Well, yeah, his major directorial. I think he had like shorts before.
Did he do shorts?
Yeah, he did like a short in like episodes for TV series and stupid shit.
Oh, nice.
So, but Reservoir Dogs is his first like big
movie. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very nice. And it's what a movie to start off with Tarantino. I guess it's the best place to start off from his catalog.
Yeah.
Because it really... It kind of
showcases his style with like the really witty quips in dialogue and the violence and stuff.
I think so too. I really liked it, and you know, it's one of those movies when you first watch it, I don't think you can really see where it's going.
Yeah, no, I definitely could not. I definitely did not know where it was going from the beginning.
And if anyone could predict it, they're just lying to you.
and they're just like terrible people.
Yeah,
for lying.
Because they can't even defend themselves.
Yeah, they can't. They won't even do that.
We're not talking about Diego. If that's
we're not talking. Yeah, not Diego.
He is an innocent bystander in this.
And he liked the movie, right? Didn't you like the movie?
Yeah, I thought it was bad.
Yeah, on a scale, let's get Diego's scale right now. Scale on 1 to 10, Diego.
1 to 10, Diego.
8.5.
That's pretty high.
That's really high.
Yeah.
Favorite so far from Diego.
Favorite so far. Wow. Okay.
I think that you're gonna have to wait to hear what we have. We're such cock teases tonight.
A little bit.
Yeah. But you want to give people the breakdown of the movie?
Oh yeah, for sure. So the movie's pretty simple. It is about a bank heist.
It's pretty simple, but complicated.
Well,
I mean, you don't know how anything is gonna go.
Well, like the setup is simple.
Right.
There's just a bank heist, and there's these like. I don't know how many there are. Are there seven of them to start?
Well, how many colors are on the...
Yeah, they're all named after the color, so they don't know each other's name. That's mm-hmm. like a way to prevent anyone from... If they get caught by the police, they can't squeal on the real person.
Yeah.
Because they don't know the real person's name. Yeah. I think there's like seven dudes, whatever. There's a bank heist with these seven people, and mm-hmm. the movie isn't actually about the bank heist. It's about what happens after the bank heist. Because some of the dudes... die, and then some of the dudes get away, and it's about what happens immediately after.
It's basically a bank heist gone wrong and what happens in the aftermath of it.
Yeah.
And it kind of unravels as the story goes on.
Yeah, on all the characters just kind of fall
apart.
Yeah. It's really good, though.
I thought it was well done in the way the story was told.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of working it.
I'm biased.
Working
it
way back. Yeah.
It's a great movie.
You know, everyone has their favorite color, I think. What was Harvey Keitel? Was he Mr.
Harvey Keitel was Mr. White.
Mr. White, yeah.
Yeah, I think Mr. Orange is my favorite.
Tim
Roth did a really, really good job.
And that'll be the... I'll save that for the highlights and lowlights because two people. This is a really performance driven movie.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I think that the performances will either make it or break it for you.
Yeah, and if you don't like Harvey Keitel, Tim Roth, Michael Madsen, Chris Penn, Steve Buscemi, and Quentin Tarantino in a very short role, then you probably shouldn't be watching movies.
But I think if you haven't seen it, it's one of those movies from the 90s that you just have to see and check out.
Yeah. Yeah, like solid performances.
God, it smells really burpy in here now, too.
Burp, burp, burp.
Yeah, burping. it might be our cocktails.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a Wednesday night.
It's like DuckTales.
It's a Tuesday night. Fuck my life. It's a Tuesday night.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. You're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the...
you want to just go over highlights and lowlights?
Yeah, I was going to start with you.
Okay, highlights... I'll do my highlights and favorite scene.
Okay.
Generally speaking, I thought the dialogue is awesome. His dialogue gets better. Like I don't think he can beat the dialogue of
Inglourious Basterds.
Inglourious Basterds, especially the bar scene.
Yeah.
That
fight.
Yeah. 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 I thought that was his best work yet for one scene.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And highlight is Tim Roth. Tim Roth does such a good job.
Yeah.
You, and he's injured in the movie. And everything you see when he's playing injured, when he's conscious or when he's unconscious, you just feel it with him because it's really painstaking to watch, I think.
Yeah, and his voice works really well because he gets like those.
Yeah.
He hits those like really weird shrill notes. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't sound ridiculous. It sounds realistic.
I really wish he was in more movies now. I know he did that one TV show, Lie to Me.
Yeah, he did Lie to
Me.
Which
I never watched.
I saw like one or two episodes. Yeah. It's apparently pretty good.
It's on Fox, yeah. Right?
It's on Fox.
Or was on Fox. I'm going to have to check it out.
I think it got canceled last year.
Yeah. 2 years or 3 years?
Yeah, it ran for like 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he hasn't really been in...
I mean, he did Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. Yeah, he was in Pulp Fiction at the beginning.
He was in Funny Games, too.
Yeah, he was in Funny Games, the remake of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like him as an actor. I think he's very talented, and I just want to see more of him. So yeah, that, yeah. He was my performance of the thing. I have to say, best scene is how you figure out how he got injured.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good scene.
Yeah, I'm gonna skip the torture scene because everyone talks about it.
And it's a great
scene, but I think the one where when you find out how he was injured, it's a great moment.
Yeah, that was solid.
What about you, my man?
Okay, so highlight. I would probably have to go with just how awesome Quentin Tarantino was as a first-time director of such a big movie. Because
right.
Like, not only is the dialogue really good,
yeah.
Because it is, you know, pretty believable and kind of like... almost like 1940s, like, mm-hmm. you know, high pants, fast talking shit. But yeah, he did a really good job with using the dialogue to make all the characters very believable. And I thought that the way that he paces and tells the story is very almost natural, even though it's kind of like backwards and it's like told through memories.
Yeah.
It everything makes sense and it's easy to follow despite how complex the arc of the story is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that. That's your general. What about your favorite scene?
Favorite scene. I really liked the scene where Michael Madsen dies, basically.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's toward the end of the torture scene. It's pretty cool.
It's a great scene.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna say that's a spoiler because this movie is like 20 years old.
It happens. All that stuff kind of rolls out with Mr. He's Mr. Black, right?
Madsen? I thought it was Orange. Oh no, he's blonde. Yeah.
Oh, he's blonde. Yeah. Okay.
Michael Madsen is Mr. Blonde.
Is there even a Mr. Black? I'm a fucking idiot.
I don't think so. No, there's like brown, blue, pink, blonde, orange, white, and then they're like, you know, the dad. And
well, in my version, there's a Mr. Black.
Okay. It's Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. Actually, I would say it's Steve Buscemi because he's totally opposite of black.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's the whitest. He's almost translucent.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's such a dink.
Oh, yeah. In this movie, he doesn't tip like an asshole.
Why was he in Armageddon? Someone explain to me why he's in Armageddon. Like, he needed to be in Armageddon. We need a guy with fucked up teeth. Let's put in Steve Buscemi.
Everyone needs a guy with fucked up teeth. Let's start lowlights, dude.
Okay.
We actually have a special guest with us tonight. What's her name? What should her nickname be? I'm trying to think. Chimichanga? Bacardi?
I think we have to go with Chimichanga because of her reaction.
Yeah. I'm trying. What's a very feminine Spanish noun? Diego?
Femme.
What do you mean? You're from El Paso.
You're from El Paso, man. You're Mexican. Your parents are both Mexican.
I gotta think of my favorite Taco Bell item on the menu. Frutista Freeze. I'm gonna call you Frutista Freeze.
What is that, dude?
What do you want to be called?
You have to say something.
Chimichanga.
Okay.
Chimichanga.
There it is.
Let's start with lowlights since you didn't really like the movie too much.
Yeah.
I thought the movie was extremely predictable. It was. You could tell right away where the plot was going, particularly the scene in the car where the guy was asking.
We should have her watch Pulp Fiction.
For the guy's name because he had just been shot and he was like probing the guy for information, which I thought was really weird when I saw it, and that's when I knew that he was the rat.
Oh, okay, spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, again, it's a 20-year-old movie. You should have seen it by now. Yeah.
I just really thought it was predictable. And I also thought that it was ironic that the one guy that was a novice, Mr. Pink, I think it was Mr. Pink, he was the only one that was actually professional about the whole thing.
I think he had done it before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all bank robbers.
They're all bank robbers, but he was the best professional.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the whole movie, I thought he did the best job of like keeping everything
cool.
Cool.
Yeah, he did do a really good job.
Was he your favorite character?
He's almost like the voice of reason.
He was my favorite character, but not by much. I would say that the guy that had compassion that ended up telling his name.
Harvey Keitel.
Yeah, he was actually my favorite
Mr.
character.
White was real cool too. Actually, all of the characters were really cool except for Michael Madsen.
But I like Pink's acting better than But I thought that the compassionate guy, I thought he brought a lot to the movie.
Yeah.
Especially at the end when he, you know, where he when he found out about the guy that was dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have to say that my low light was actually Harvey Keitel.
Okay.
Which one is Harvey Keitel?
The
compassionate guy that you like so much.
I just thought it was interesting because he wasn't.
It's something different.
As a professional bank robber, you abide by your bank robber rules and whatnot. And I thought that he was
a different character for being in a bank robber.
In a bank
group.
Robbery, yeah. He was like, I'm not going to let this kid die. Like, we're going to take care of him. He had a very much, to me, it seemed like kind of like a mafia attitude. Like, he's one of us, so let's take care of him. Versus everyone else was like.
Don't watch Goodfellas.
In for themselves, I thought.
Or Casino.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like, this is going to sound stupid. He's the weak point, but I also liked him in the movie.
Yeah.
There was a couple scenes in the movie where I thought his acting was really...
kind of cheese.
Yeah, cheese and not so bueno.
Yeah.
Bueno, I use for our chimichanga friend.
Yeah.
Bueno.
Bueno.
It was bueno.
It's
bueno, man. It's bueno.
It's meat.
Yeah, chimichanga. Mamacita. Nothing to say. She's got nothing to say. Yeah, that was my low light. Other than that, I really don't think there was anything that really bothered me. You said it was predictable, right?
Yeah, I thought it was predictable. The crazy guy, I don't know who it is. Mr. Blonde.
Vega.
I knew when he arrived that there was something up, and I knew when he took the kids out or took the people out to the car, I knew that there was like...
Oh, yeah.
There was a... I thought it was going to be a dead cop in there or whatever, but... turns out it wasn't that, but I knew that there was going to be something going down, and I knew he was bad news from the get go. I thought his character was extremely, I don't think it was a well thought out character. I think it was like, I thought his character was just like kill shit. Like that, like his whole, that was his character. And it just, to me, it wasn't developed very well.
He's supposed to be the haywire crazy guy.
I just didn't think it was developed very well because it just seemed like that was his whole thing. And they didn't tell you how he got there. You know what I mean? They didn't tell you how he came to be some crazy guy.
Yeah, for sure. She has a phone call, so I'm going to take the way I thought about it, going back to Michael Madsen's character. Mike, oh, it broke. Oh.
Okay.
All right. Congrats. Okay. Yeah.
No, okay.
Okay, cool. So, like, the thing was, we going back to.
Terrible. Terrible.
She's going for the high five from Diego, but Sam was the first one who offered the high five.
Whatever.
But she didn't get it.
Whatever.
Michael Madsen's character, I think, I disagree with her in the fact that it was actually really exciting to watch him come in because he's the wild card.
Yeah.
Much like Charlie as the wild card in It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, mostly because all the characters up to that point were pretty like reserved.
Yeah.
You have Steve Buscemi, Harvey Keitel, and Tim Roth, who are all just kind of like concerned and sane.
That's the thing. And that's the thing. And you get to see the conflict of interest. Not so much the conflict of interest, but like the bad decision making on the part of the man who kind of set this whole thing up through halfway through the movie. So I found it very enjoyable, but the low thing was Harvey Keitel. I don't have any general nitpicks about it.
Yeah.
The fact that the pacing was great. What about you?
Yeah, no, I have like a really stupid nitpicky thing. I just didn't like the police officer that gets fucked up and tortured.
Yeah.
I just didn't like him that much.
Yeah, yeah. You just want his whole face to get fucked up.
Well, he seemed like, okay, I know he's being tortured, but he seemed like a little overacting in some parts. But I mean, it makes sense if he's getting tortured.
Yeah, I just thought I thought it was weird that he was in it for himself too, because it seemed like
the police officer.
Yeah, it seemed like he didn't give it. He was like, how do I look? And then he asked the he asked the guy, like, how do I look? Like, really? I'm fucking bleeding. Yeah. You're dying. And
I mean, that's silly. He's doing that. I understand that. But, like, he could have had a different persona for the police officer. I think that would have made it a little bit cooler.
To me, he identified more with, like, the bank. He had the same type of personality as the bank robbers.
Almost, yeah.
Versus the police officer, would think.
Yeah, but I mean, I still thought he was cool, just not as much as everybody else.
Right. Do you have any general gripes? I can't really think of anything.
Not really, dude.
It's a pretty good movie. Yeah. It's just like,
it's an exceptionally shot movie.
That was the general gripe. You said it was predictable.
Yeah.
Chimichanga says it's predictable. Yeah,
Chimichanga says it's predictable.
Let's talk decimal system. I guess to talk about, just because there aren't any low gripes doesn't mean we think it's the best thing in the world. It's just that there was nothing that we could do better.
I mean,
better,
he executed it really, really well. Everything is shot in an interesting manner that makes you want to pay attention.
Right.
The movie is propelled forward pretty well.
I would have to say, I think the way we should do our decimal system is that one of us should go first, and then we should let Chimichanga speak.
Yeah.
Because I know she's going to disagree with everything we do. As far as the 10-point goes.
Yeah.
And I know I like this movie a lot more
Andy,
than her.
You want to go first?
Go first.
Okay.
I'll go first. Diego gave it 8.5. I am going to give it a 7.5.
Okay.
Just because I feel at 8.5, I might have given The Professional an 8.5.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give it an 8 because I still think it's too close to The Professional as far as how much I liked it.
Okay.
I liked it, but I think it hurts that I just like other Quentin Tarantino movies better. I actually like Usual Suspects better than Reservoir Dogs.
I think I like Reservoir Dogs more.
Diego says he likes Usual Suspects better.
Usual Suspects is amazing, though.
That's a great movie. That's a great, and it's great almost the same kind of vibe with The Pack of Criminals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Except that it came out like 3 years later.
Yeah, and there's a lot more stuff that happens in The Usual Suspects. Yeah. You would probably like that.
You would like Usual Suspects.
It's not that predictable.
It's on Netflix. Yeah. So Chimichanga, out of a scale of 1 to 10. And that means I would watch it, I would rent it, or I would buy it.
Yeah.
Like, as fast as you can. If you have a friend that has it, go watch it.
If you haven't seen it, you're
you
idiot.
Must not own a TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
It's on Netflix now. No, it's not. I'm sorry. Usual Suspects is on Netflix. Okay. Reservoir Dogs is on TV, but you won't see all of it.
At your local Blockbuster if you go back about 10 years and just get a time machine.
So I think it's a good movie. Moving over to Chimichanga. 10-point scale. And 10 what point does that scale. Mean to you?
I'm going to have to disagree with you, Andy. It's definitely not even close to your rating.
Burn.
I would say that it's a 5.5.
Wow.
Simply because I thought it was extremely predictable. I didn't think that a few of the characters were well developed.
Quentin Tarantino is going to send Jamie Foxx to come beat you up.
I thought
Django
that
Unchained.
I just thought some of the parts weren't necessary. I don't know. I just the whole movie to me was predictable, and I think that's what really blew it.
Would you recommend it to anybody?
If you like
Quentin Tarantino, watch the fucking movie.
if you like action, you know, like a lot of fighting, not fighting, a lot of like, what do
like
you call that?
Drama, dialogue.
A lot of
ridiculously good dialogue.
Violence. That's the word. I'm thinking more gore. I was
it's
thinking
really
like torture scene.
It's
and
not really that. It's not that.
I don't know. I didn't really like that, and I definitely didn't. That wasn't interesting, and to me, I didn't think that the dialogue was that compelling either, so I don't know. I would not rate it as high as you did. I'm sorry.
Well, that kind of hurts, but I'm moving it on to Sam for something that will make me feel so much more better.
Yeah.
More better. Make me feel more better. Yeah.
You know,
Mr. Black coming out right there, yeah.
You know, I have to give Reservoir Dogs like a 9. Like a
Wow!
It's one of my favorite movies.
This has been like the biggest discrepancy of ratings then, if you're going to give it a 9. We have a 5.5, an 8, 8.5, and a 9.
Yeah.
Very nice.
No,
exciting times.
Because this was the first Quentin Tarantino movie I saw. And like, it really made me appreciate him as a director and everything. I thought, like, Like that. That's what. Like this is one of the movies that kind of turned me off of being like, oh, that's a cool actor. I'll watch the movie. To being like, oh, Christopher Nolan is directing that. I better check it out because he's going to be solid. You know,
you're going to watch. Like you started becoming more director focused.
Yeah, it kind of changed my perspective on films. And so, yeah, I really, really like Reservoir Dogs. But I mean, that's like a personal thing.
Well, no, I would agree. I could see people having Reservoir Dogs as one of their favorite movies. You know? I'd say it's one of those movies where I'd recommend if you like Tarantino. But like the thing is, like I have a really, it's really fascinating to me how Chimichanga called everything out.
Yeah, it's almost like she's seen the movie before. Yeah, because it's 20 years old and it's on TV on AMC like every weekend.
Yeah. I mean, it is feasible that you could think of it. If you're just kind of sitting there trying to work it back,
I guess
in your mind.
Retard because I didn't think of it.
Well, I think part of it is almost like a smoke and mirrors game when you're so focused on the actors doing their thing,
yeah,
that you might not think beyond the actors and what it could be in the general scheme of things. Yeah. Which I think is part of the reason why the movie is so masterful in the way it's directed. Yes, but you know, on a scale, in the scale of 1 to 10, she gave it a 5.5. Does it break my heart? Yeah.
A little bit.
It hurts.
A little bit.
It stings in
We're going to have to watch Inglourious Basterds.
I love Inglourious Basterds.
It's good.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, if that's all you have to say about it, I thought you would have nicer things to say about it.
Yeah, I thought you would have more to say. Shout outs to Russell.
Do you like my watch? Actually, I do like his watch.
It's a pretty awesome watch.
Great fucking watch.
Shout outs to Seiko.
And Rusty Trombone.
SMK007.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Feels so good on his hand.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mike Hansen for breaking in moot court. Great job. Great job.
Yeah. Great job.
Shout out to Mike Hansen.
Yeah.
We so proud of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Magic Mike.
Magic Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Diego, have any, since we're doing all shouts, do you have any shout outs, man? He does not care about people.
Not even his girlfriend. Shout out to Victoria.
Yeah, we care about Victoria.
She gave a great review.
Nope, doesn't. She makes a badass cupcake.
Those are really good.
Yeah.
We still have your frosting.
If you know what we mean.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Strawberry frosting.
It's in the fridge. Yeah. It's all crusty.
Yeah.
All right. That's what happens. Yeah, dude. That's about it for me. And Chimichanga, I'm guessing. She's playing with her hair.
Yeah, well, thanks again, everybody, for listening. We appreciate your questions, comments, and whatnot. So, thanks a lot for listening.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.